Now let's talk briefly about getting supplies to the besieged Libyan city of Misrata, still held by the rebels. Libyan government forces have been shelling the port, which is the only way in and out, but yesterday an aid ship did dock after waiting for days offshore. The Red Star 1, sent by the International Organization for Migration, managed to evacuate about 800 people, mostly migrant workers from sub-Saharan Africa. But hundreds of Libyan civilians who wanted to flee were left behind.
The ship quickly left Misrata and reached the rebel-held city of Benghazi this morning. From there, evacuees will be taken across the border to Cairo in Egypt, and then they will head to their home countries. So far, aid ships have rescued about 12,000 people from Misrata. A spokesperson with IOM said this was the sixth and most dangerous Misrata rescue mission sponsored by the group, and given the dangers, the group said it did not know when another ship might head to Misrata.
So that's one rebel-held city. Let's talk about another. The rebel stronghold and capital of Benghazi is facing a new threat. NPR's Lourdes Garcia Navarro has more.
42-year-old Awad Mohammed was at his father's funeral when it happened. It was crowded. There were many mourners.
We were sitting, like I am now, and all of a sudden there was an explosion, and we saw my car blow up.
Someone had thrown a homemade bomb into the back of his pickup truck, destroying it. Mohammed says the attack was meant as a warning.
That's what Gaddafi is trying to do now, pick us off one by one through his infiltrators.
Here in Benghazi, rumor and fear are rife. People whisper of infiltrators, a fifth column of saboteurs intent on spreading chaos. It's hard to separate fact from fiction here. When asked why he would be targeted, Mohammed claims he's a famous rebel from the front lines of Ashdabia. Others say, though, it's because he used to belong to Gaddafi's feared revolutionary committees, and opponents are now getting even. Whatever the truth, he's not alone. There's been a spate of similar attacks in recent weeks. Benghazi has been flooded with refugees from frontline cities. Many here have refused to open their homes to them, fearing that they might be Gaddafi spies. The pervasive sense of unease is not without reason. There are now guns and heavy weapons all over the city, in the hands of pretty much everyone.
So we're standing on a street corner talking about the fact that unexplained shooting and explosions happen here all the time. And to prove the case, we're hearing it right now. No one knows exactly who's shooting. No one knows exactly why, but we're hearing it everywhere.
Ducking for cover, restaurant owner Imad Pala says that before the uprising, it was illegal to carry weapons.
Before, people used knives to settle their differences. You'd never hear the sound of gunfire.
But not anymore. The crackle of shooting and the thud of heavier weapons are a constant here. Sometimes it's celebratory, but other times it's people settling scores, he says. Weapons have been put into the hands of people here in order to fight against Gaddafi's forces, but they are now also being used for other purposes. It's not safe here, Paula says. Often in the middle of the night, we hear these gun battles, and we have no idea what's going on, he says. And there's no one to turn to if things get ugly. In central Benghazi, what's left of the police force is gathering in a parking lot. The men here have few weapons, almost no uniforms, and haven't been paid since the uprising. Oh, and the police station where they're meeting has been burned down. They're trying to get back on track, but they face two main obstacles. First, the police was a particularly loathed institution in Libya, seen as the fist of Gaddafi. Second, they have no backing from the provisional authority here. As a group of them stand in a huddle, their commander tells them that if they come face to face with a criminal stealing a car, for example, they should ask politely for him to stop what he's doing. We can't force them anymore, he tells his men. They are better armed than we are, he says. First Sergeant Akram Hamid tells us they have the community's best interest at heart.
We need to provide security for the banks, for public buildings, for people in general. We need to provide safety. People are missing that.
But he acknowledges when people see the police uniform, they don't react well.
People are really upset at the police. We are trying to get our reputation back and gain people's trust.
But trust is in short supply. Many families here are keeping their women and children at home. Jamal Arabi is stuck in his house with his wife and three children, two of whom are preteens. Schools are closed and the streets are too dangerous to play in.
We are suffering of this situation. See, we live under stress 24 hours.
He says there is only so long people can live like this. As this goes on, he says, we feel more and more disappointed with our revolution. Lourdes Garcia-Navarro, NPR News, Benghazi.